Thank you once again, and we're going to look to the Lord in prayer this morning for our intercessorial prayer. I'm so glad that some of you were sick and you are here today. It is a miracle, and so many viruses and things like that, and I appreciate that you are here, and I love your presence. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence as a church body, praying at this hour first and most in an attitude of thanksgiving because you have shared your love for us. The scriptures in the letter of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2 says that we were dead in trespasses and sin. We can hear no one. We can do nothing for ourselves. But then as we keep on reading that letter, we read that the Bible says about God who is rich in love. Oh Lord, today I thank you for that word about God who is rich in love. And Father, not only that, I am thankful that when Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, he says to them, we have been put in trust with the gospel. What a privilege and what a responsibility in the hands of your people. And I pray, Lord, that this morning, this church may broadcast the gospel as we have been put in trust with it. Cause us to worship in a spirit and in truth. Father, I'm thankful for the Asamblea Cristiana del Valle, the little tiny church like ours, who is forming their shape there in the Indio Valley, in Palm Desert, in Palm Spring. What a kind people. What a gentle people who have been reached by thy love of God. And now they know you. And now they want to pass it on to others. I want to thank you, Lord, for the way they received me, for the way they were kind and very, very gracious to Raquel and to me. And I pray that they may shape up their life with the strength and power to proclaim the gospel without fear and to tell others about this magnificent love of God and the power of God, but also the awareness there is a day of reckoning and there is a day of accountability. Our church family have been hurt by different circumstances, Father, and we remind ourselves of the man that we love, Joe Forrest. He is under the diagnosis of congestion heart failure. And even though I do not know all the medical implications of that diagnosis, I have visited him and I know that he's weak. And I pray, Lord, that in your marvelous will, you will give him in this hour, which is critical, a peace from above, not only to him, but to Loretta and to their children. Father, I have prayed for Paul Millerson, and he's here. I have prayed for Donald Prestigiacomo and Ann Peretto, and they are here this morning for Prudence, and they are here. And I thank you, Lord, that you gave them the strength to be in fellowship with us this morning. I do appreciate their effort to say, thank you, Lord, I want to worship you. Bless these people with more strength because they have to do the daily ministrations of work and duties and life. And they love you, Lord, and I pray for your strength upon their life. Our brother Mark has shared with me that his wife Ruth have arrived from Mexico yesterday. It is no easy after her mission to put her mother to rest. And so, Father, I pray for Ruth Guerrero, that the comfort of the Almighty God and the presence of the loving Savior will enrich her heart. And that Mark in sweetness and in care, will understand the sufferings of his wife and will enrich her life by his loving presence and the loving presence of these children who are a loving presence here in church. Thank you, Father, in spite of the difficulties. We have Margie Salinas that came last Sunday, but she is not here today, and we do not know her conditions, but we pray again. And Father, for our brother Robert Parrott, who is going to have different decisions for life. He is making decisions to take different directions for life in order to gain strength and to hold the family together. Oh, how I pray for him, Verla, and his children. And Lord, together with the preaching of the gospel here at church and the lovely Tate ministry and then the kindness of KKMC in broadcasting the gospel over their station, Father, not only we have these ministries, but we do have missionaries, actually physical people who are preaching the gospel in different parts of the world. And we are reminded today of Fred and Carol Lewis in Ukraine under the Greater European Mission. As this man now came from Africa and started learning Ukraine and teaching the Ukraine pastors to teach the scripture, I pray for his strength and their life. For Carol and Ruth Knott, as they share their work in northern Spain, in Huasca, Spain. For the man that we love and know so much, Eusebio and Maritza Perez. And especially for Maritza, who is sick with the pancreas problems and so on. Lord, bless this man and give him a strength in the development of that church in the Benalmadena area in Malaga, there in Spain. Lord, for our brother Zahert, who is constantly working strong right there in the area of Lodi with his wife Irene. And for our South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, who take care of those who are wounded. And they give not only the comfort of this world, but they pass on the living word of God. Oh, Father, bless every young people who come to that center, that not only they may feel the security of somebody who cares, but feel the power of God to be enlightened with the gospel. And for us this morning, I pray that as we worship you in love today, you may bring to our attention your love for us, that we may submit our life and surrender to you. And when all is done, Father, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking from Bethel Baptist Church at the moment of the offertory. And I'd like to bring to your attention our fellowship banquet that we're going to have on the 28th. If you're interested, you can call our church office. It's going to be on Sunday, the 28th this month. And it's going to be right here in the Morgan Hill area. It's a banquet not just for couples. It's a banquet for everybody who understands the love of God and who is careful to endorse and to share with their life the love of the living God. And so we invite you to call 778-2595 and leave your phone number so we can call you back and see if you can come in and join with us in this tremendous feast of love that we will have together. Meantime, let us go to the service and join the service of Christ.
Now to take your Bibles and to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you will find today's reading in that Bible on page 848. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whereas there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whereas there be tongues, they shall cease. where if there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. We praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because thou hast shed thy love upon our hearts so that we may love thee. Father, thank thee for the forgiveness of our sins through thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for life eternal through Jesus Christ. Thank you, O Lord God, for the love of Christ in our hearts so that we may share that love. Father, we pray for our pastor, your servant, Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims the gospel today, the gospel of love, that you may love others as you have loved us, that they may know the love of Jesus in their lives, that you may love them today and call them into thy kingdom for your glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our text for our meditation today is found right there where our brother just left the reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And as you look in the Bible to 1 Corinthians 13:13, I want to once again invite you to our fellowship banquet that we together will share as part of the body of Christ on the 28th. And because it's a little expensive, and some of you maybe do not have the resources for that, our lovely members of our church have given money in deposit for those that cannot pay. You will never know who gave it, neither the person who gave it will know where the money went to, for whom. So please, don't be ashamed to talk to Raquel or to Brother Kasanjan and said, you know, I need a little help. Maybe I need, rather than paying two bills, I need somebody help me to pay one. We will be glad to. I do not want anybody to stay home because you do not have the money for the dinner. That I will cancel the whole festival because I want to be one with you. One day the Lord will give us a beautiful building with a majestic kitchen, as I saw a church in Southern California. It was a $5.5 million church. And I tell you, it is a joy to have a kitchen like that, and then we can prepare ourselves our own dinner, especially doing a good chocolate cake. All right. Let's pray before the meditation. Lord, we love you. And because we love you, we want to express your love to people as is explained in the scripture. May the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the scripture, bring us as close as possible to that Jesus of Nazareth. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, the very last verse, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13, and the very last verse, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope. The King James Version of the Bible says charity, means love. These three, These are the three gifts. They abided in the local church today. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, tell us that the church of Thessalonica have the three gifts. You can read it in 1 Thessalonians 1 in your home. That church, the Bible said, had the three gifts. And in chapter 1, they explain how the gift of hope and how the gift of faith and love were expressed in that particular church. But here the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, the greatest of all these gifts, the greatest is love. Is love. So if you look at that verse and you move your eyes just a little bit to verse 2 on the same chapter, you will notice a few things. For example, that love is greater than prophecy. And though I have the gift of prophecy, preaching is another word that is used, sometimes interchangeable with prophecy. But I think the apostle means, oh, if I had a gift like Jeremiah, they will come and tell the people of God the word of God. Oh, if I have the gift of Ezekiel. You look in the book of Ezekiel, and every two or three chapters, Ezekiel says, thus says the Lord. Oh, if I have the gift of Hosea. Oh, if I have the gift of Joel, of Malachi. Oh, if I have those gifts and I have no love, I'm nothing. In verse 2, the apostle is telling, oh, if I have wisdom. Look at what the Bible says. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries. I'm very sure that in every Sunday school class, from the young people up to adult today, you got a mystery today. And that mystery is that verse 29 in 1 Corinthians 15. It is a mystery. I have some explanation for it, but it's still a mystery deep inside my heart. It's still a mystery. The baptism for the dead is still a tremendous mystery. And so the scripture says, that Paul is reasoning, and he said, oh, if I have the ability to explain to you every mystery of the Bible and I have no love, I'm nothing. And if you keep reading verse 2, he said, and all knowledge, love is greater than intellectual knowledge. Oh, if I have all the degrees of the world, if I was the most intellectual man of this universe and have no love and nothing. And look at verse 2. If I have all faith so that I can remove mountains. That reminds you of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? If you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, the smallest grain you can find, you have that kind of faith, you can move mountains. And the apostle said, oh, if I have that kind of faith, that whatever I read it, I believe it, and things happen. But I have no love. I am nothing. So I asked myself this question, why? It's good to be around your grandchildren. You learn some of their vocabulary. Why? Why? Now, Paul, why? Now, that's biggest stuff, to have prophecy, to be a Jeremiah, to stand in front of the people and say, go into captivity, thus said the Lord. That's big. It's big, like Jeremiah saying, and you will lose your land. Oh, that's big. The man is in jail in Egypt. And the Jewish people want to really crucify him. And Nebuchadnezzar come from the north, invade Jerusalem, take over, go into Egypt, and said to Jeremiah, where do you want to be? In the palace of the king, when your land, which will be desolate. And the great prophet of God said, I die in my land. Whoa, that's big. I mean, that's big. Jeremiah, to me, is that's big. But Paul said, if I'm one of them, but I have no love, I'm nothing. So let me briefly give you three reasons why I think love is so influential, and so necessary for me as a pastor to preach you with love, for you as a member of the body of Christ to share the gospel with love. It's so important, so important. Number one, love is greater because we, the people of God, spiritually, and I'm going to show you spiritually and physically, I'm going to show you the spiritual influence of love and the physical influence of love, so they become complete. Love is so great because we are drawn by love. Move your Bible with me. Put one hand in 1 Corinthians and go to Jeremiah in the Old Testament in chapter 31 and in verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. God is in love with Israel. And in Jeremiah 31 verse 2 said, thus said the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel. He's talking to the Israel of God. And look at what he says. In verse 3, this is God speaking. The Lord had appeared of old unto me, said Jeremiah, saying, look at what the Lord says. Yeah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, with an unconditional love, with a timeless love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Do you feel that? You were an unbeliever. You were without Christ. You were without understanding of the things of God. You were actually ignoring God, careless about God. And God said, you are mine. You know why? Because I have loved you before you loved me. And I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I have drawn you to me. You were away from me. You don't want me. But I, God, love you. And my love is greater than anything else. And I brought you to me. Wow. What a privilege we have as children of God. I can testify for myself. They are 12, 13, 14 years old. I have my cousins and I have my church asking me and begging me to come to church. And I say, as far away from church as possible so that I can be free. But God, in spite of myself, in spite of my rebellion, so young, he had loved me with an everlasting love. And one day he showed me that he loved me and I cannot resist it. You see that? Look what the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, in chapter 7. The fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, in chapter 7. And in verse 7 and in verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8. In verse 6, Moses says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people. Now, how the Lord choose these people? Look at verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were of the fewest of all the people. There were only 12 when God chose them. But because the Lord, said verse 8, love you. That's it. Israel became the people of God not because of their mighty knowledge and their smart cookies. No, They became the people of God because God said, I love you. And he set his love for them. Is that exclusive only of Israel? Look with me in Romans in the New Testament in chapter 5. In the book of Romans in chapter 5, please. And in verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Look what the Bible says. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we have nothing to do with God, while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. And look with me, Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 4, and in verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2 starts with the very difficult text telling us that we were dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2 starts with the bad news that you and I were dead in our trespasses and sin. That we belong to the prince of this earth and we only obeyed the devil. But then in verse 4 there is a but. And you look in verse 4 in the Bible, says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great what? Love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And the reason again and again and again the scripture says that we know God and that we love God and that we praise his name is because love draw us. We are drawn by love. Now take a thought. Most of you are married, and those who are singles, please take a good look now. I have a young, good-looking Spanish fellow who's a pastor of Terror in the Spanish churches. We have a problem. If we organize a Spanish church, we are limited in the amount of people that come in. And I'm 17, 18, and I'd like to have a girl. So I asked him, for what? He said, you know, I'd like to have a girl. For what? Answer to the question, for what? Well, he said, you know, I want to get married one day. You don't answer my question. Well, I don't want to marry a man. He said, I want to marry a girl. So why you want to have a girl? How long are you going to live with her? He said, well, you know, the Bible said forever. How can you live with a girl forever when they wake up in the morning and they don't have the curls well done and so on? It's ugly. How are you going to do that? He really was almost don't want to have any relationship with girls. But how are you going to live forever with somebody, as long as you live in this earth, how are you going to live with that person? Oh, he said, well, I look for somebody compatible to me. Well, what is your business? Well, I'm going to be in... Okay, look, the Lord has to send you a girl here, and the girl... That's one in 150,000 billion. I think that possibility is gone. Give me another idea. Look at Genesis 29:20. Here's the secret. Here's the secret. We who are married, are drawn by love. Genesis 29, please, and verse 20. Genesis 29 and verse 20. You know the story of Jacob. He loved Rachel, but Laban, his uncle, was a crook. And he said, no, in the Jewish tradition, the younger girl never marry first. You have to marry the older one. So you marry this one. And he said, but I love Rachel. All right, so you marry this lady, and you work for me 7 more years, and then you can marry Rachel. Did Jacob did it? Yes, he did. Why? The Bible tells us why Jacob worked for this guy who was a crook in order to marry his wife Rachel. Verse 20, and Jacob served 7 years without pay. 7 years, when the Bible says serve, means was in a slave. 7 years for Rachel. It was a long, no Bible, what the Bible says. And they seemed unto him, but what? Few days. Why? Because, look at what the Bible said. For the love he had for her. Remarkable. Now, let me go through the Bible. Chapter 24 of Genesis, please. Here's another wedding. Isaac. Now, even though the arrangement of the marriage was done by parents and family, in Genesis chapter 24 and in verse 67, we find here the statement of Isaac's condition of marriage. And Isaac brought her, that is his wife, that he never saw before, into his mother Sarah's tent, into his mother's bedroom, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he, what? Loved her. Loved her. You see that? You see that? Now, let me show you in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 28. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that love his wife love himself. So we are drawn by love. That's why love is so important. Is not if you are compatible or not compatible. Dentists do not have to marry dentists, and lawyers do not have to marry lawyers, and engineers do not have to marry engineers, and bakery don't have to marry bakery people. No, no. You have to marry somebody that you love. And when you are drawn by love, I guarantee it, like the man who sells suits, I guarantee it, you are together. Number two, not only we are drawn by love, but we are satisfied by love. We are satisfied by love. You know, I ask many times myself this question, why in the world Jesus kept the apostle Peter? Do you remember what Peter did? He's in the praetorium, in the high court, and he's watching the sufferings of Jesus. And somebody said, oh, here's a Galilean. Galileans are dark-skinned and tall. And here's a Galilean, and you are one of them. He said, oh, forget it. I don't know him. I don't know anybody. Forget it. But look with me, John Gospel chapter 21. When Jesus died and was resurrected, he said, well, it's all over, so let's go fishing and let's start our fishing company again. The Apostle Peter. And as they were fishing, somebody was at the shore. And the Bible said that John, the beloved disciple who Jesus loved, he said, hey, look at on the shore. And Peter, who has a heart of love, he saw the master, and he knew the master. If I'm Peter, I swing to the other side. After denying three times the Lord, I run away. I ask the fish to eat me. But Peter knew the Lord. And look at the scripture, John Gospel chapter 21, and then verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now look in verse 12. Now it is Jesus and Peter. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Now Jesus did not say, oh, what you did 7 days ago when you denied me and these. Jesus didn't say anything. He said, son, Come and dine. Now in the scripture, that's fellowship. Let us have union together. How in the world the Lord Jesus did this? How the Lord can be satisfied with that kind of behavior? There is a secret. And the answer is in John Gospel, in chapter 13, and in verse 1. And I think it's going to help you and me to love our children. John Gospel, chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour was come, and he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his son which were in the world, I mean his disciples, he loved them conditionally. Is that what the scripture says? He loved them so until they love him. No. He said he loved them to the end. It doesn't matter what Peter does, will not affect Jesus' love, because he was satisfied and loving Jesus. Wow, wow. It doesn't matter what Peter's behavior became, Jesus said, I love him to the end regardless what he does. Wow, this is God for you and me, by the way. That's why you and I cannot fall away from the kingdom of God. That's why we are not saved and unsaved and saved and unsaved. There is nothing you can do to be saved. There is nothing we can do to keep ourselves saved. You know that. Because if you're honest with me, we sin every day. How in the world then we can pray and have that tremendous fellowship with the Father? It's because he loved us to the very end, to the day that we'll be in his presence. What a love of God we have. This is not cheap. What about that love physically? Husbands, listen to this. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. Look at what the scripture says about our practical love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. He loved the church to the end. Husbands, there is no excuse coming to a conference table for improving your marriage. There's no excuse to say, I don't love my wife anymore. Impossible. If you are a Christian, it's impossible that you as a man will say, I do not love my wife anymore. If you know the Lord, of course. Because, see, we need to love our wives as Christ loved us, and Christ loved us to the very end. And we love our wives until the Lord take us away. Whether she cooks the right enchiladas or not, that's not the question. You know what I mean. We love our wives as Christ loved us. And so God said, I love you regardless what you do. Once Christ's love is in our life, it's forever. And once we say to somebody, I love you, I want to marry you, and pay attention, single people, this is not conditional, this is forever. You are saying, I love you regardless if you become like Hosea's wife, a prostitute. I love you, period. Boy, the world needs to see people like that. The world needs to see people like that. I'm satisfied with you. I love you. Thirdly, not only we are drawn by love, we are satisfied by love, but we are controlled by love. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, spiritually. Look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 14. For the love of God... 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. For the love of God, the King James said, constraineth us. The New American Standard uses a word that I think is more proper. The love of God control us. Control us. Pastor, will you give me an example? What that God means? Yes, there is an example in the Bible. Let's take, for example, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20. Look at the declaration that he made, and you see the type of control that the love of God has upon his life. Look at the statement of the Apostle Paul. The love of God controls me. You know, when you are controlled by love, I know it because you never complain. Remember that? That's a signal. That's the signal. When you are controlled by love, you never complain. You never complain. Galatians 5, verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. It's just tremendous. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, he says. And the life that now I live in the flesh. Wow. Wow. Pay attention to this. The life that now I live as a natural man. Look at what he says. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I live is a life controlled by the Son of God who loved me. Wow! Some people, this isn't a spiritual text, but affects our physical life. See, when you cannot separate behavior from knowledge, you can't. Knowledge leads to behavior when you're a Christian. And the Apostle Paul says, you know, I'm absolutely, totally crucifying Christ. I care less about this and about the other. I just move on with Christ Jesus because I'm in love with him. Boy, that will solve tremendous problems in our life. Tremendous problem. When you love Jesus, your work becomes fantastic. It's incidental. You do the best job you can for your company, and you be sure that your work produces a lot of money for your boss. I told the Mexican people who work in the grounds of these magnificent mansions, hotels in the Palm Springs area, like Indian Wells and so on. I visit places you had no idea exist in America on wealth. When a man pays $1,000 a night for a room, I mean, they have to be exceptional. But I told these Mexican people, I said, are you happy? Super happy, Pastor. Can you imagine? The other day he said, we're going to buy another lawn mower. What they bought? Oh, they bought El Toro. Is that good? So yeah, they pay $110,000. What? Yeah, he said. But that mower, I sit down, I learn computer. I sit down, I don't have time to go and see it and cut the grass myself with computers. And you punch, and it says, so-and-so is going to play golf. And this person wants to see the grass only in this direction. So we computerize, and the machine cut the grass and put the grass in that direction. I can believe it myself. Are you happy? I said, Pastor, I'm making good money. But that's not my goal. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so I be the first in the golf ground at 5 o'clock. Turn on the lights in that machine, prepare every equipment. I became the chief among there are 50 golf courses, and I'm the expert. And I became the expert by just being first and be sure that when the guests come in at 8 o'clock, everything is perfect and the hotel has everything in line and nobody complained, so that my boss had no complaint for anybody and have everything ready so they can make the money, so they can pay me. The guy got the idea. I said, you love golf. Of course. He said, I like golf. Once in a while, President Ford come around and said, come on, boy, shot. And I'm with President Ford, shot in the pole. And I cry, he said. Me a Mexican from the mountain, Pastor. Me a Mexican from the mountain. I had no food years ago. And now I'm praying, just enjoying. And all because I work. Don't you like to have an employee like that? You don't need unions for that kind of employees. See, this is when we are controlled by love. You don't have to check your wife. You don't have to check your husband. You don't have to even check your children. The children will be so attentive to do what mama and papa said because they love each other. Look at 1 John 3:6. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him, 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath no seen him, neither known him. And now move your eyes to verse 16. 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for whom? For the brethren. Wow! Remember what Jesus said, by these they will know that ye are my disciples, if you know all Calvin doctrine. No, no. By these you will know you are my disciples if you love each other. I want to say, as a pastor of this church, I'm proud of this church. Because this church is a loving church. We maybe have not the best building in town. We maybe are not the best intellectual people in town. But I want to say it on the air. We love the Lord and we love each other. And I have seen that in many of you, that when I asked for a need for somebody, you responded without me asking you. That's why, you know why? It's not because you are rich or you have the money, because maybe you had to do a sacrifice to do what you did. But you know something? It's because you love the Lord and you love me and the ministry. And I don't want to change that. I want this church to be a church that learns to love each other. I want this church to be a church where the families love the people just as they are. They don't have to change. They don't have to change. When a wife tells me, oh, if my husband changed, I bleed inside. I don't want to say anything. I bleed inside. Nobody has to change. You just love it like this. Love it with passion. Because God loves you and me just as we are. Thank you, Father, for your love. Father, we are satisfied with your love. Father, we are drawn by your love. And now my prayer today, Father, cause us to be controlled by your love. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, once again we pray with thanksgiving because your word teaches us over and over and over again that without love we are nothing. Help us to take this counsel to heart that we may express love in the family for husband and wife starting right there, accepting each other as we are and pleasing each other as we are. And then our children will see that and they will please us. And then when we gather together, help us to love each other as Jesus loved us to the end. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.